Let's talk about argument. Think for a minute about your favorite restaurant. Just in your head, don't say it out loud. Just think for a minute about your favorite restaurant. I want you to picture it. Right? What does it look like? Can you see the food? Sense the atmosphere? Maybe you're that type of person, can even smell it when you think about it, right? Now, what I want you to do is turn to the people around you, and I want you to tell those people about your restaurant. Tell them the name of your restaurant and explain why it's your favorite. Go. This is the most fun you've had this whole time. This is the best exercise we've done. All right. That was fun. All right. This was silly. And you were so smiley and so happy. I'm looking at you like, oh, let me tell you about my favorite restaurant, right? Okay. But in this little exercise, you just gave an argument. The restaurant was your passage. The information about that restaurant, that's your study, and maybe some of you have done a lot of study, kind of look like it, and in your discussions there, about your restaurant, and the conversation about what makes your restaurant your favorite, that was your argument. If only it was that easy, right? It's not always that easy. Some of you were able to persuade others in your group to try your restaurant, or at least maybe you whet their appetite for it. This is what we're trying to do as Bible teachers. We have a message from the Word that we want our audience to hear and be persuaded in some way to believe. So this last instruction we're doing is called argument. Let me show you where we are on our pathway for preparation. I'm just gonna skip over to the side we are focused on. We've talked a lot about what we're doing here. Structure, context. We did a gospel, and now we are leaving the exegesis section, theological reflection, and we're coming over to this side that we call persuasion. All right? The persuasion side, this is where we're starting to think about our people, think about our audience. I need to now take all of my study work and put it together in some way to get the message across to my people. How can I persuade them that this message is to be believed, trusted? Okay? So in the persuasion category, there are lots of things that fall in that. We're only focusing on argument today, but part of persuasion is also application or adorning, how you adorn your text. What do you do to bring it to life? Or how do you arrange your material to help you make that argument as you go, right? And then, of course, argument. We have a whole course online called Persuasion. We'll talk later about online courses. But there's a whole course that goes through all of these steps. I have a worksheet done. Now what? Okay, now what do I do with it? It's persuasion. So we are here, argument. Let me give you the principle. The principle for argument is, oh, it's so hard to remember, the persuasive teacher must make an argument. Yep. The persuasive, ooh, that's messy, teacher must make an argument. Okay, that seems simple, but as you know, because you've done your worksheets and have had many discussions now in your groups, I'm guessing that there's been some challenges in getting to a main clear point for the audience. There's a lot to have to learn and consider and work through. How do I get to this clear point for my audience from these passages of Scripture? The definition here for the principle is simple, but the process takes work. Now, this is why that worksheet's helpful, right? Each step on that worksheet is leading you closer and closer to your audience. And that's why that pathway that we just went over is also very helpful to keep in mind. There's a biblical message that our women, our audience, needs to hear. So, for an example, let's look at Paul. He's a good model for us. If we could turn to Acts 17 real quick. Acts 17. And let's see how Paul does this. We're going to read Acts 17, verses 1 through 4. If somebody could read that nice and loud for the group. Thank you. Okay, let me ask you some questions from this text. This passage, it's spelling out succinctly what Paul had been doing as he traveled around various regions sharing the gospel. Okay, what does verse 2 say was his custom? He entered the synagogues, and what did he do? Reasoned from the scriptures. Reasoned, argued, right? Reasoned from the scriptures. Okay, verse 3, there are three words that describe how he did this. What are those three words? Explaining, proving, proclaiming. So he's explaining it, proving it out, proclaiming it. And then what was the result in verse 4? Some were persuaded, right? If you've ever studied Acts, you know this is Paul's regular way of teaching. And same with Peter. The apostles, they use scriptures to advance an argument to their audience. And as it's repeated through the book of Acts, it often says those who believed, who were persuaded by the message of the gospel, were added to their number daily. The scriptures being explained and reasoned through persuaded people to believe. All right, let me give you a drawing because this wouldn't be a teaching without a drawing here. Here is an arrow. Okay? This entire arrow is our argument, the whole arrow. The tip of the arrow is our main point. I'll use a different color, okay? That tip of the arrow is our main point. In Acts 17:3, Paul actually states his argument, and he says, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ." That's his argument, and he's going to use the scriptures to teach that and preach that and reason and proclaim and persuade, okay? This is what he wanted them to believe. When they left that synagogue, his desire would be for them to recognize Jesus as Messiah and have a heart change. So when we shoot our arrow at a target, what is it that we want our arrow to do? We want it to pierce the target, and we want it, that target is going to be our audience. So this whole argument of our arrow, we want it to hit our audience. The shaft of our arrow, so if I said the tip is where that argument is, right? The shaft of the arrow, that's how we arrange our material. The shaft is this part, right? The stick part. So that would be the arrangement, and those fun little feathers at the end, those are our adornments, right? That's what helps to kind of bring some life and light into our exposition. And all of these things, the shaft, the feathers, are propelling that argument forward. If you've ever, anybody shot an arrow before? Okay, so if you like were to remove some of those feathers, or if the shaft is somewhat bent and you go to shoot that arrow, it will not fly straight. Those things all have to be in the right place and work together to propel that argument forward. And that's what we're saying here with this illustration. Okay, so let me draw here's our audience. Our audience is the target. Okay, a little. So we want our arrow, that tip of our arrow, to go land smack in the middle there. Get him in the heart. Right? What is it we're trying to convince them of? Any questions about this drawing? Make sense? All right. You're going to go tell your women, "I'm shooting an arrow at you," and have them go running. All right, let's talk about strategies then. So if we're trying to have an argument that we're going to make that is a legitimate, connects the text, it's connected to that main point. Now we have the main point for our audience. We want to get it to them. We need some strategies. So strategy number one. Audience. Know my audience. Know your audience. Okay, this seems like a no-brainer. Yes, I know who they are. I know who I'm talking to, okay? But it's amazing how often you can sit under somebody speaking and be like, they had no clue that was women. Or they're talking like this, but they're kids, right? So know your audience. If my audience are mostly believers, the tone, the application, my wording the words I might use in my talk might sound different than if I have a widely mixed audience. If I'm speaking to teenage girls, my argument might be worded a little differently than if I'm speaking to like a senior women's community group. Sometimes, as Bible teachers, we forget that our audience didn't do all of the work that we did in preparation, and we end up with language that reflects seminary-level teaching and not something that's as accessible for them, okay? So, if you can think back to my talk from yesterday, and if you don't remember, it's okay. I will not be offended. But were there ways that I reflected my audience, that I knew who I was speaking to in my talk? What were some of those things that I might have said that told you that I knew my audience? Okay, good. I talked about when you're speaking with your groups, right? How would you apply this? How would you take this back to your women? Or yeah, good. What else? Yeah, I called you ladies. Yes, sisters at some point, right? Yeah, good. Yeah, okay, good. Recognizing that we're not all the same place, good. What else? I called you by a little bit of a title, do you remember? A reference what? Oh, okay. Yeah, where we are, the location we are, yes. And I called you Bible teachers, right? At one point, I called you Bible teachers. All right, so I asked if you'd experienced in your study the same reaction I did in Habakkuk, right? So all of those types of things help you to think like, oh, she's talking to me, right? She's talking, she's thinking about me as she's going through this. So just little ways to help your audience connect with you is one way to help make your argument. Number two, one that we keep repeating is the pathway. So we need to know the author's main point to his audience before we address our audience. That's why the worksheet is so helpful. It keeps us on track and in the right order. It's tempting to think about our audience first. And Joanne talked about that on our first time together, right? Sometimes we want to go from our text straight to our audience on the pathway, but we're not serving them well if we do that. And I think we've probably hopefully convinced you of that here at the workshop already, how that worksheet works together and the pathway works together to get us to our audience in a way that honors the text. So think of yourself you're like a craftsperson. You're not just a technician. There's an art to this process of working through the pathway. We don't just want to give them all this output of information, right? So this pathway gives us the steps that help us turn our exposition work into almost like a beautiful piece of art that we can then hand to our women and hopefully persuade them to believe something. Let me show you how the pathway works and how the worksheet works for me with my argument. I'll give you a little sneak peek into my brain. Here is my number one, number three, number five for my talk from yesterday. All right? So I'm not going to show you all my structure work and all that stuff. But from my structure, on the passage that I did yesterday, my emphasis was ignored injustice against the righteous. Okay, that was just the simple emphasis for that passage. From my emphasis, then we see my number three, after doing some context work, I got to Habakkuk cries for God to enact justice against the wicked leaders of Judah. Right? So the author's main point is this is what's happening. All right? He's crying out for this justice. And then my main point ended with, and after doing gospel work, trust God, whose justice is never paralyzed but perfectly planned. Okay? There's relationship between all three of those, yet they're not all identical copies of each other. Do you see that? So we have something about justice or injustice happening in there. And then we have this, my gospel helped me get to this trusting God that he has a plan, right? So that is feeding now into my main point. So that's how I'm getting from number one to number five. Them then, us now. Do you have questions on this? No? Oh, gosh, so clear. Okay, perfect, good. If you have questions on it later, ask me about it. But this is how that worksheet really helps you move from exposition work to your audience today. And that gospel connection really can help shape this part as you're getting into applying it to your women. So 1, 3, 5, 2, and 4 are in between those things, okay? All right, no questions on that? That's a great question. That comes up almost every workshop. Do I have to have an imperative here? You do not have to have an imperative, although I will say that quite often that happens. So we don't need to make it a rule, but you don't need to shy away from that. And if you end up with a main point that is more of a truth that's spoken that I want you to believe versus something to do, that's not wrong. Okay, it is sort of passage specific, right? Okay, great question. Any other questions that are coming to your mind as you're thinking through the worksheet and how this plays out? Okay. Oh, good. Correct. Absolutely. So she's recognizing she doesn't need to have she's now done the gospel work. I don't need to have all of the stuff in my main point. Maybe there's an aspect of it that's helpful. So in my case, it was more like, what do I want them to do with this now that we brought Christ into the picture? I want them to trust this. So I'm bringing that in my main point. But yes, you don't want to, if we pack all of our stuff into our main point, what's going to happen to our women? Well, they don't know what to do now, right? There's too much, right? So that's why our emphasis, author's main point, are so helpful. When the tighter we are on our emphasis to the text, the quote-unquote easier it's going to be to then get to a main point for the author and for my audience that is still tight to that text, okay, with a little bit more added possibly to it. Now, when we're in the Old Testament, you will see quite often a big change between emphasis, not big change, we're still in the same thing, but I mean the words have changed a little bit. You'll see a change that's happening here. When we're in the New Testament, especially the epistles, often the emphasis, the author's main point, even my main point, look very much the same because we're on this side of the cross. So genre specific, what genre you're in is also going to possibly change how this might look on your worksheet. Does that make sense? Okay. Good. Other questions? A little bit. My gospel. Yeah. 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 So because I had the pleasure of doing the two passages where I got to have God's response, and so he's like, I've got a plan. Oh, little prophet, remember, like you don't see the whole picture. And so God's response there is like, there is a plan. Here's the plan. When I got to hear, I pulled in that trusting God part here. So that kind of flowed into my gospel. From my gospel into that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Yeah, so I think where I would go where I was headed with my Acts 13 gospel one was he was like emphasizing in that moment, like God has done something you would not expect. Like, how could you even trust that that would work? Trust his plan, right? What he's going to do to his own son. How can we trust that? So that's kind of where that trust came through. But the other parts, I think, would come out in application. So the questions, what does it look like to trust? What does it look like to, I forgot what application, I've already, whew. But what you were saying, I think would then flow out in more application questions, still pointing back to the passage, you know, still be honoring the text, but yeah. Great, good question. Okay, let me give you the next one. Number three, so we've done, let me go back to where we are, here we go. Audience, the pathway and the worksheet, and then number three, let's talk about some more our main point to our audience. Okay, so just as a reminder, that's number five on your worksheet, okay? The main point for your audience. We're going to talk about clear and concise, right? Our main point needs to be clear and concise. So when my women walk out from the room, I want them to be able to tell me in a short statement what the message of the text was. Like, what did she take away from that lesson? What was the main takeaway? If she has to pull out all her notes and go back and look through all my points and review and think through, then I probably did not quite land the message, the main point, okay? She may need to look back for like, here's all the application questions, that's fine. But what was the main point, right? The heart of the argument. It needs to be clear and concise. So for clarity, so I'm gonna put here, clear, all right, is one. So for clarity, it should be able to be easily followed. Use plain language or be defined well. So if you are going to use a churchy word, make sure it's one that you can make very clear what it means in your talk. So when they leave the room and they say justification, if that's in your main point, they should hopefully they've learned in your talk what that means so that they understand it, okay? So well defined. I try to use words from the passage if at all possible. The more you can use text from the passage, the more they will remember the passage itself and how your main point was relating to that passage. Your main point should also be singular, meaning a main point. So try not to use the word and or a lot of commas or a lot of hyphens or whatever tricks we use to try to get all the things in. I've done them all, so that's how I know, all right? This would make it have multiple points, all right? And what's the main point we want to land? So for example, I wouldn't want to say men and women are made in the image of God. We say all we are all made in the image of God, right? And that seems silly, like a slip, but truly, we men and women, why do we need to say that? We can actually pull them together. So for clarity, to be clear, keep it down to one main point, use words easy to be followed, plain language, words from the text. For concise, now don't throw things at me when I tell you this. Aim for your main point to be 12 words or less. Okay, 12 words or less. It's hard sometimes, right? You want it to be easy to capture audibly. So if it's too long, they're gonna like, I got the first four words and I don't know what the rest of it is, right? So easy to hear and capture audibly. You don't always have the opportunity to have slides up. I had a slide up yesterday, so it was probably easier for you to, you know, here's what Katie's outline is, you could write it down. That may not always be the case where you are. So what you're saying is going to be the thing that they're going to have to remember. They can't just count on you for your notes up on the screen. So shorter is more memorable. Mine had 10 words, okay? Trust God whose justice is never paralyzed but perfectly planned. Okay, 10 words to it. And even that, I was like, ooh, could I get that even tighter, right? Questions on what I've said right now about main point. Clear and concise. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Ooh, we're going to get to that. Can you hold on to that, because that's kind of coming up in the next part. Yes, I'm going to ask you something about that. All right. So this is a really good question. She wanted to know, am I bringing my main point into all of my, it's hard because we're using the word point, and I had points, and then I have a main point. So let's call those outline. I had outline number one, outline number two. She's asking, did I bring my main point into all of those? Yes, and we're going to talk about it some more. You want to do a little work? Let's do a little work. Okay, we do have a fourth strategy. I haven't forgotten it, but we're going to put a pause on it for just a moment. So what I'd like you to do is take out a worksheet that has already been presented. So not your one coming up. We're not going to work on that. But one you've already presented. And I would like you and your neighbor. And maybe you just need to pick somebody's, because if there's three of you, you're not going to have time to do all three people's worksheets. But maybe choose one of the person in your group to look at number 5 on the worksheet and ask yourself these questions. Does your main point reflect the author's main point? Is it clear? Is it concise? And if there's like, ooh, no, then let's do some work on it, right? I'm going to give you a decent chunk of time, like more than normal, 8 minutes maybe. Trust me, it's a decent amount of time. Go ahead and do that. Okay. How did we do? Kind of, sort of getting there. All right, share with me, what were some of your observations in doing this? So difficult. What was the hard part? She said, I thought she was my friend. It is so good to have a person like that who can be really honest with you. keeper. I know it's hard sometimes, right? The keeper. Okay, good. What were some of the things you learned, either about yourself or the process as you were doing this? It's hard to be concise. Yes. Yes. Amen and amen, right? So I do find, for me, it is helpful to start out long, a lot of words, and then start to chop. And then I might see like, oh, there's 4 words here, but actually they're all encompassed in this one word that I could be using instead, right? Do I need to say Jesus, our Lord and Savior, or can I just say Jesus, right? So what can I do, you know, to help shorten that down? So yeah, you're not alone. Good. Other observations? Yes. How do I get it to one, right? And so that's why when your emphasis, if your emphasis can start with one emphasis, then by the time you get down to my main point, you're like, okay, well, if I'm flowing from there, hopefully I'm flowing from that same one thing. It's going to be helpful when you get there. That's why that emphasis work, we hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. But that's why it's so helpful to do that. Now, you can get creative. We talked about this in our training time. What if I see like joy and remember in the same thing, and I want them both. We'll say joyfully remember. Turn it into an adverb. Turn joy into an adverb and use it to describe, and now it's in there, all right? So they don't have to be main points themselves. They could work together. It depends on what words are in your text, okay? Yeah, there are tricks that work and are allowed, and that's one of them. All right, good. Any other comments on that? Before I give you number 4, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. And I think the more work we do, the more we will refine that. And so it could be, let me say this, if you see 2 main points you feel like there's two main points in your text that they feel equal to you, and you decide to go one direction. Are you totally wrong? Are you preaching something so incorrect that you're going to lead people astray? Probably not. You're teaching something in the text. So if you've maybe miss, I'm not giving you permission to go around now, miss your main points. Katie said I don't need to get the main point. But there is that struggle, right? So the next time I go to teach that text, I may have now done more work on it and be like, oh, wait, I have a little bit more information now. I've read some other script, whatever. And I maybe would change it a little bit here, right? We're always making progress. So I think sometimes we put pressure on ourselves to, we gotta be right the first time. And I'll tell you what, I look at worksheets and talks and things I've done many years ago, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking, right? And that's just why, because we grow, hopefully, right? We're growing and we're getting better at what we do. So we have to be careful that we don't put this expectation on ourselves to be perfect, because we're not going to be perfect. Pray, ask the Lord, give me wisdom, guide me. Lord, you know my heart. I don't want to lead women astray. And he knows that, right? And then go with what you know, right? Okay, great. Thank you for sharing. Let me give you number four for our strategies here. Number four would be to have an effective use, and this comes back to the question that was asked a little bit earlier, effective use of the argument. So a way to effectively use your argument is to repeat it. So it's repeated. Use your main point in your talk, okay? It should be there. It should be there in the beginning. It should be there in the middle. It should be there in the end. It should keep coming up throughout your talk. If I only say it once and you missed it, like you got an emergency text from the babysitter or whatever, and like, oh no, I missed the beginning of what she said. Oh no, right? So we want to repeat it and keep it going. I had multiple statements that pointed back to the argument, and I reflected those words using it from my main point. So let me give you that list too. And where is that one? I have pages all over here. Here we are. Okay. I've shown you what my main point is. Here are different ways I repeated it, and they aren't all identical. And there's more than this. I just picked some out. So throughout my talk, I said the original is at the top. God is, and then second, God is always working and actively moving his plan forward. Okay? The Bible gives us many examples of God's perfectly planned justice for his people. I want to trust the God who has a perfect justice plan in place. This is not a paralyzed justice, as Habakkuk cried. There was more. This is perfectly planned justice by a sovereign and faithful God. So there's this repetition of my argument done in different ways throughout the talk that helps point. When I'm in the gospel, I'm still pointing back to this. When I'm in application, I'm trying to point back to this. When I'm using an illustration, I'm trying to point back to it. Remember, that whole arrow is my argument that I'm trying to push forward. So repeated. I'm going to go back up to where we were, okay? So part of being effective is also to support it. It's supported. Okay, this is number 7 on your outline. When you start talking about, or on your worksheet, when you start talking about your teaching outline, I need to be sure those points that I'm making in my exposition support my argument in some way. I need to be able to connect my thoughts to the tip of that arrow and not sound like I'm shooting arrows all over the place, right? One arrow going directly to my audience. So here's my outline was very simple. If you recall, it was, here it is. Paralyzed justice and planned justice, both of which are pointing back again to my main point. It worked out really conveniently, honestly, for me. It's not always that easy, but this particular way the passage was divided helped me to support it easily with that, okay? But again, if somebody looks at an outline, they can see, oh, the main point is here, the main point is here. It all works together. Questions on that repeated or supported? Because I'm going to give you a minute to talk about it with your partners. But any questions for me on that? Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So my points that I'm making are these. It's hard because we call them, here's point one, point two, and then we call it main point. So that same word. So this is the passage, and the point that I'm making that passage has to do with paralyzed justice. Okay. And so that is also reflected in my argument that I'm wanting to get across. So you can see that there's similar wording in there, and then the second point I want to make from my passage is on the plan justice, and that also reflects my argument. Does that make better sense? Okay, great. All right, here's what I want you to do with the last couple of minutes. Go back to that worksheet that you were discussing, and now, yay, and look at number seven, okay? Look at number seven just for like 2 minutes, all right? Do your main points, here it is. Does your outline, reflect your argument, okay? Does your outline reflect your argument? Do your main points of your outline propel your argument forward and still hold true to the text? So just discuss that right now. Look at number seven, okay? Number seven, go ahead and do that for a couple minutes. Hopefully you had a chance to start seeing that relationship, okay, to start processing through it. And I'm sure even when you did number seven on your worksheet, it was like, okay, stab in the dark. I don't know how I'm giving this talk. Let me just throw some things down. That's okay. So, but hopefully you're starting to see how that worksheet works, especially as we've gotten down to like, you know, five, six, and seven on the worksheet to our audience, and how that argument, how that work there can help propel your argument to your audience.